But yeah, well, I mean, we'll see how long this takes. Classes in session. Grab your pencils, your paper.
Paper? Is a pen okay?
Pen is okay. I
Hold on.
prefer you to write in ink because that means you can't, because that way you can't erase it.
Does
I
the
guess.
kind of pen matter? Because, like, I got a Pilot G2.07, or would you rather me go with the.
Let me see. Yeah, let's see what we got.
I got a
Pilot
fountain.
G. Oh, a fountain pen. I think break out the fountain pen.
Okay. This episode is sponsored by Fountain Pen.
So, like I think I said earlier in the episode,
Oh, okay.
I try to watch movies, like I try and watch movies, like as much as I can throughout the year, so that way I can like. If part of me is like, oh, I want to be ready when the Oscars come around, right?
Yep.
But also like sometimes I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I had like, I wish I like had seen them all by the end of the year. So like the end of the year, like I like posting like, oh, here's my list at the end of the year for my best. So like I always try to watch as many I can before the calendar year ends. So part of me wants to like post what I or come up with like publish a list for my 10 favorites. But I also know there's like probably 20 movies I still want to see before I kind of finalize that list, and I'll finalize it around the Oscars. You take a different approach.
Yeah, my approach is wild.
So we're gonna actually, I know we see this page right here. I'm gonna go on here. We're gonna go to your page, which, granted, it isn't quite up to date.
Okay.
And you know what? I'll just go back. We don't need to have this on the screen. Stop telling me to change my passport. I looked. I was like, I went to your profile because I was curious. I was like, okay, what 2023 movies has Nick seen this year?
Okay.
And according to the list, if I click on films. And I go and I sort by the year. We got 2020, it's 2023. Five films.
So my syllabus, I got five films on here. Okay.
No, not on your syllabus.
Oh, okay.
On your
Oh, how many? Oh, that I watched.
2023, you have watched Barbie. You have watched Oppenheimer. You've seen Mission Impossible. You've seen Fast X.
Hey, unfortunately.
And you watched the John Mulaney special on Netflix.
Okay.
That's your list. So there's some work to be done. So granted, but so
Yeah.
every year, like I said, you take a different approach. You kind of like, it's that time of year again. Time where Nick, having not watched anything during the calendar years, goes on a tear watching films to catch up and get ready for the Cue the Banter Oscar episode. Now, I looked at like your diary from the past couple of years. Last year it wasn't as crazy. I think the year before you watched like 15 2023 movies at the beginning of the year to catch up.
Yes.
This list has, I have 26 movies in this list. You're not going to get to all of these. And some of these don't have as much importance as the other ones. But I was like, I just threw. I have my own list of like movies that I'm trying to see. Plus, I added the ones that I've seen that you haven't seen. And then I tried to like kind of look up, their relevance towards the award season conversation because we're going to be doing that a lot more coming into the new year. So I wanted to provide a syllabus for you. These are the movies you got to see. Now, some there's like there might be some omissions on here, like, like I didn't put, Hayao Miyazaki just came out with supposedly his final film. Maybe he's making another one, which will probably be in the awards discussion for animated film. But it's a movie that I feel like I mostly recommend this movie if you have already seen other stuff, because you kind of need to take his filmography in before you see that movie. So a movie like that maybe should be on the list isn't on the list.
Okay, that makes sense.
So we'll start here. With the obvious. Killers of the
Hers
Flower Moon.
magnificent. Hers pretty good.
Yeah, monumental, I'm hearing.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they're saying. If just go
Yeah.
to any article on Variety, you're gonna
Yeah,
hear it.
monumental. Now, so like, I also tried to find out like where these are, when they're going to be on screen for you. I think like you can rent this now, but I believe Apple TV Plus, it's going to be on early January.
Yep. It's available.
So you'll be able to watch it.
Okay.
It could be on Plex as well.
Never heard of Plex before. Don't know what any of that means. Unsure of what this Plex is that you're talking about.
So it was in the AI, like, yeah, obviously, I mean, that one, I have so many notes for it. I don't really need to say much about it. It's in the AFI top 10 of the year list, which often reflects the Oscars pretty well.
Also, by the way, what we'll do here is for the people that are listening is that when this is posted in the description of the episode, I will include a link to Jerry's list of what my official Oscar season syllabus is.
Okay. Yeah.
Whether we do what we just talked about, the year end thing as an episode, and this is a separate one, the link will be provided.
Yeah. As we talked about, you know, it's nominated for actor, actress, supporting actor, director, screenplay, score at the Golden Globes. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to, but I think it has good chances. I think its Oscar stock is even rising at this point. And I think it will continue to rise once it's more available for people to watch in their homes, because, you know, I don't think there's the obvious evidence that people didn't see it, probably because it's a three and a half hour movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nominated for a lot of critics awards. It won some critics awards. That's what I have listed here now, is like, this is what it won. It won Best Film, Director, Actor,
and where it was nominated. I like that.
Yeah.
You don't have to do all the homework on that part there.
Mm-hmm. Now, a movie that might be less in the conversation, as we haven't really even mentioned it yet. Asteroid City. Currently on Prime Video. Wes Anderson sort of like in an award season slump here, but I think it's incredible. I think it's in my top five for the year. It has some critical awards. I don't think it's going to be much of an Oscar thing, but I still think you should watch it. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, how do you feel about it being named I believe it was Variety, correct me if I'm wrong, as one of the worst films of the year?
Yeah, it was what? Flash was listed. What else was it? It was their four worst movies of the year. Three of them made sense. But I mean, first of all, those sort of lists just suck anyway. Movies are hard to make. But Asteroid City is, I think, one of the five best movies of the year. And it's just like, what a year. We had Wes Anderson.
Yep.
As Martin Scorsese. You know, you have like, you know, as we'll get to, Todd Haynes, Alexander Payne, David Fincher, Christopher Nolan, Greta Gerwig. A lot of big directors. Now, a lot of that's like COVID kind of pushing some stuff back. Yeah. So they all get released this year.
Still
insane
counts.
Insane year. But that also, like, that's kind of another reason why I'm like, is Asteroid City going to be at the Oscars? Probably not, but I think you should watch it. I think you should watch all the masterworks.
Yep, I agree.
Now, a movie that's very much in the conversation, May December.
Okay.
Currently on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Also made AFI's top 10 of the year list. And we talked about its nominations. This one you got to see for Charles Melton. Charles Melton is, as of right now, I would predict is going to take Robert Downey Jr.'s Best Supporting Actor nomination. That's where it's trending.
Okay.
Now, I watched the movie. He's incredible. It's such a good performance. Like, it's a very interesting movie. There's a campy quality to it. But like each actor who are all like, they were all nominated at the Globes, like are all kind of working on like, sort, there's like different wavelengths and like, but he's sort of the heart of the movie.
Okay.
If you don't know much about it, it's about this tabloid romance that happened, romance, I guess, kind of in quotes. It's based on a story, like a true story, about, Julianne Moore, slept with Charles Melton when he was 13. It was a big tabloid romance. And now Natalie Portman is coming to town to study them.
Okay.
For a film. It's the inspired by Mary Kay Watornu.
Okay.
Story where she's like slept with a student. So I think it's a little bit different, but it's the study of life of a controversial woman. Natalie Portman is an actress who travels to Georgia to meet the study of the life of a controversial woman she is set to play in a film. The woman being infamous for her 23-year-long relationship with her husband, which began when he was just 13 years old.
Okay.
So Charles Melton plays the 13-year-old. Well, obviously he's older now, but like
he his plays performances, the kid, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of like, as an audience, who you're sort of like empathizing with the whole time. And like,
okay,
if that doesn't work, I don't think the movie works nearly as well. And I think it's such a good performance.
Is it better than his performance in Bad Boys for Life? That's the question. That's what people are saying.
I haven't seen Bad Boys. Is he in Bad Boys for Life?
He is.
I've only
in Bad
seen
Boys
Melon in one thing. He was in the Rian Johnson series, Poker Face, for an episode. And he was quite good in it, but totally different performance.
I can imagine. Yeah. It's also going to be very different than what his performance is in Bad Boys for Life. But I just looked up his IMDb real quick, and I'm like, okay, that's why that guy looks familiar.
Right. Well, okay. He's also like, he was in Riverdale. That's where like, oh my God, Robert Downey Jr. is going to lose his Oscar to the Riverdale guy. It's like the third lead, or like I don't even know what, he wasn't even like the main character on that show. Next up, as you might expect, The Holdovers.
There we go.
Big movie of the year.
Okay.
For right now, like, could be an Oscar. Could be one of the front runners in the best picture category.
I keep hearing
which
that.
Is and crazy. That's crazy.
I know. And they played the first time I saw this trailer was when I went to go see Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those ones where I was watching this trailer and I'm like, I haven't heard anything about this, but I kind of feel like Paul Giamatti is just like fucking cooking right now in this thing. And it's exciting to see that. Yes, it does seem that my feeling was correct.
Yeah.
And I mean, I probably should have seen it by now, so I could confirm that belief, but I do like the attention that it's getting. It makes me believe that maybe I kind of, my hunch was right.
Yeah, and he's going to be someone who's pushing Cillian Murphy in the best actor category. So that, like I said before, Divine Joy and Randolph have won a lot of precursors already. So, yeah, it's a good movie. Is it best picture? No, but I mean, I think it's worthy of a nomination. I think Giamatti's worthy of a nomination. I don't think that they should beat out Murphy and Oppenheimer.
Yeah, and so just for the best picture nomination thing, we'll talk about it more in the Oscar thing, but this is why I like the 10 nominations, because it does give you time to recognize things that may be like, yeah, okay, this one isn't really in the running there, but it still gets, it's being nominated for best picture is a recognition in itself. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that it's an opportunity there for films that you don't see winning, you get to throw in the mix there, so they still are able to get the recognition that they deserve.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Poor Things.
You Are Ghosts.
In theaters now. I just saw it the other night. I mean, for us, it's in theaters. It like played in New York and LA, and I think it's coming out wider around Christmas. So there's still time. See it. Okay. Also, top 10 of the year list. It won the Golden Lion. I have it. See here. It's all caps. Golden Lion. Emma Stone's incredible.
Of course she is.
It's such a funny performance. It was like, I left the theater and was like, well, the two funniest performances of the year. Gosling and Stone.
Stone. What a force to be reckoned with she's been since the Superbad days.
Right? She could win her second Oscar.
I know.
For this. She's on quite a tear and she's doing interesting shit. You know, she has the show with Nathan Fielder, which is like, I have to see,
there's the show with Nathan Fielder you have to see, but also she did Maniac on Netflix, which I haven't seen yet either, but I like that there's this
Maniac's
whole thing
good.
Of,
yeah, I liked Maniac.
Of, you know, she does Superbad. What's the other one? Easy A. Right. Then she pops up in Gangster Squad and then Crazy Stupid Love. And you're like, okay, this, you know, she's doing this. And then La La Land, which she's wonderful in. She gets her Oscar nom, her Oscar win. And then, yeah, it's like she does the favorite. And you're like, okay.
Well, she's starting up quite a collaboration with Yorgos. I believe they're probably, I think they're working on something else as well.
Yorgos is fucking cool, man.
And it's cool, like the Academy likes him a lot.
And they should.
Poor Things is going to be ever present this award season. The favorite was good.
Do you have a favorite Yorgos?
I kind of want to go back and like watch more of his stuff because like I feel like now I'm more kind of on the wavelength of what he's doing.
Okay.
I haven't seen everything. I've seen The Lobster. I've seen Killing of a Sacred Deer. I've seen The Favorite, and I've seen Poor Things.
Okay.
Right. So I haven't seen Dogtooth. Is there anything else I'm missing? Was there another Feral that I'm missing? I don't think so.
No. No, those are the ones I meant. Like, if you were going to look at Poor Things, The Favorite, Killing of a Sacred Deer, The Lobster, right now, and Dogtooth, like, out of those, like, what's your favorite out of the ones you've seen?
I think for me right now, like, it's the Poor Things and The Favorite, but those are the two that I kind of saw where I was like, okay, you know what? I'm like, I'm really jiving with this now. I would love to go back and watch, because I still think about Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yes, as do I. That's kind of where the question came from. A movie we've covered on this podcast.
We did cover it. So I went back and I watched, looked at my Letterboxd review. I think I had like 3.5 stars on it. I'm like, that's got to be at least 4. But I was like, I need to go back and watch this because I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
Like different aspects of that movie I think about. And even The Lobster.
The Lobster, like, I think about a lot as well, just because the premise and the idea of it. What I like about Yorgos is that, like, he's quirky's not the right word. But like, what I like about The Lobster is, like, besides the premise, I mean, if you've never seen The Lobster, the premise of The Lobster is that single people go to this like retreat place to try and meet the love of their life. They have a certain amount of time to do so, and if they do not, they are turned into an animal of their choosing.
Mm-hmm.
What a premise.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I really like about the premise of that movie is that it's not played up as like, oh, this is a comedy. Like, that's just like, you're just like, this is how it is. This is a normal thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And all the characters think it's normal. And that's what I like about it. Is it's not trying to play anything up. It's like, here's a straightforward drama, but except for the stakes are different because of this here. And also the idea of picking a lobster as your animal, a animal that mates for life, you know, like though, you know, those kind of things there. I think those are super, super interesting. And yeah, Killing of a Sacred Deer. Yeah. Those are two more so than The Favorite. Not to take anything away from The Favorite, but I think that, the absurdity and the oddity is so high in The Killing of a Sacred Deer and The Lobster, and it's not played up to be that way. It just, that's how this works within the universe of the film. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, The Favorite does have some very wide lens camera work, and
there's some of it in Poor Things as well, and a lot of
I wish I could remember the name of it in the score of The Favorite that just blows me away every time I get to it.
Yeah, he's got good scores. I liked the score for Poor Things. A lot of the early parts of that movie are in black and white. You have like this very stringy score, and I'm like, I feel like I'm watching like an older foreign film or something like that. Yeah, it's great. Are you looking up a song?
Yeah, I'm trying to, because I want to shout it out if I could find it.
Yeah.
But no, I think, yeah, no, I think, and I also like, because, like, you know, the first time I saw Dogtooth was, shout out to my homie Byron Karabatsos, who was my cinematography teacher in college. Shout out to a friend of the podcast, friend in real life, Abby. She was in that class. And that's where I watched Dogtooth. And it was like, I was really fascinated with Dogtooth. And then it was like, oh, this guy's making shit that's more mainstream.
Right. Yeah, I got to go. I got to watch Dogtooth. I should also just rewatch some of the other stuff. I've always wanted, I haven't rewatched The Favorite. One of my favorite Oscar wins, The Favorite. It's one of the best parts of the show is when something like that happens.
Yeah,
so while you keep looking for that,
uh-huh,
I'll move on to the next one, which is, as we've talked about, Past Lives.
Okay.
Another top 10 of the year. I think I kind of already said, like, the argument for it. Like, it's with the Golden Globe nominations, it's kind of snuck back into the conversation. So that's
I am convinced. I really appreciate Past Lives being on here because I do want you to know, like, up in everything on here is like, yes, absolutely. Been on my radar before it came out. Wanted to see it. Just haven't seen it. Past Lives was not one of the ones that I was like, oh, I'm aware of this. I need to get there and see it. So I appreciate that being on the list.
Yeah. Another more mainstream one, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, going to be in the conversation for animation. Also as made it, the top 10 of the year list. I think that was the only animated film that made that list. It'll be interesting. Animation's going to be interesting.
I also think that me and Kate are Across the Spider-Verse. What's the first one? Across the multiverse?
Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay. So, that movie is something else.
Yeah.
Me and Kate will talk about it all the time. And as Kate always says, that goddamn movie has no right being as good as it is. And we don't mean that as a diss to the movie, but it's like, oh, what is this? Oh, okay. We're doing another superhero type thing. And we're going to animate it this time. But what you get out of that when you're like, holy shit, man.
Yeah, I think this one furthers that. Like I'm kind of in the place where I'm like, I think I actually prefer this one more.
The second one.
Yeah. Very now, granted, exciting. It's like it is not. I wouldn't say a part one. The story doesn't wrap up as like necessarily neatly. It's more of like I think it's more of like an Empire thing.
This is part one. This movie.
It was originally titled Across the Spider-Verse Part 1. I think it's the next one will be Beyond, but it does end with kind of like, okay, there's still shit to be done.
Okay.
But I think it still feels complete to me. I thought it was incredible. I thought some of the themes that they kind of went for were great. The visuals, I think, are even better. And I hope they're not overworking the animators too much for the next one. But I would like to see it soon. But I don't, you know, take your time. Do what you got to do.
No. Good point you brought up. We didn't mention it with the strikes. Not only do strikes work when it comes to what you're doing at the bargaining table there, but during those strikes, we also saw VFX artists at Disney. I believe it was also at Warner Brothers. Also signed union cards in order to organize and join there because. They treat animators like shit. They keep them on tight deadlines. So yes, obviously, I would like it's something that people would like to see sooner than later. But mm-hmm. I don't want to see things come out sooner to the detriment of the people that are making it, and they should be respected as such. Okay, is that Air?
Air did I? So I did not think that this was going to be making the list, but it got nominated for Matt Damon for actor, and it got a comedy or musical picture nom. I don't know if that translates to Academy Award, but it's a
okay.
But Ben Affleck directed. He's in it. He's good. Viola Davis is really good. I feel like she's kind of just on the outside looking in terms of supporting actress performances. And Damon's okay. Good. I don't know. So we're kind of getting into the ones that are like. Or some of these are like less like, oh, you this is required for a passing grade. But I would say that John Wick Chapter 4, it's not going to get nominated. I'm sure we'll get angry when it gets snubbed for stunts somehow at the SAG Awards.
That's even worse too. As the listeners can tell, I'm obviously in the middle of an intervention and on trial here. where I did put John Wick 4 on. And I was vibing with it, and I was like, I'm tired. I don't want to have to split this into two viewings. I want to watch this straight through.
So you started it but stopped.
Yeah, and okay. not for anything that the movie did, which is being I really want to be locked into this, and I feel like I'm not going to be, and I just haven't got to the point, which is I just got to force myself to do it.
Yeah, it's another long one.
Which is dumb that I have to force myself to watch something that like I really want to fucking see.
Yeah, it's because you've let TikTok ruin your brain.
Fuck is your problem?
No, I just don't watch TikToks anymore. It's my take. Well, I watch them occasionally. I don't scroll TikTok anymore because I'm like, I can't with, I gotta, I can't, I don't want to, I'm scared that my attention span is going to wither away.
Oh, it's withered, brother.
Yeah.
Is that?
God. So as you've seen before in the other ones, like I had full lists about award stuff. For this one, I have Godzilla Minus One. One, it's in theaters. Two, Godzilla is back.
He's back.
And that's
okay.
Reason enough to watch it. I think it's quite good. Not really going to be an awards play. It wasn't the Japanese submission for the international film, so it won't pop up there. Maybe it pops up for some technical stuff, but I think it's still kind of on the outside looking in. But
which I think that you know, it not being in the official submission doesn't take away from it. You know, our favorite one, with The Portrait of a Lady on Fire, not the French submission for, the Academy Awards. Instead, they submitted it was Les Miserables,
right? Which you liked, you enjoyed.
I did enjoy it, but I don't think it's not as good as A Portrait of a Lady on Fire because there's not a lot of things that are as good as A Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Right. Sight and Sound said only like 20 or so films are better than it. Okay, I'm going on to the next one.
Go ahead. I did put Gareth Edwards' 2014 film Godzilla on the other night.
We don't like that. We're kind of the two of the people that are like not as into that movie as a lot of people.
Yeah. But I just put it. I was falling asleep, and I was like, I'll just put it on. There's also another Godzilla show coming out. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Godzilla's back. But let's be real. I think that Godzilla Minus One is that's my what I want to take in from Godzilla. Because I'll tell you what, Godzilla King of the Monsters, not great. Godzilla vs. Kong, pretty strange. So, anyway, moving on.
Well, look, and around the time that this sort of started to blow up with the Godzilla X Kong trailer came out, and there's the shot of them running. Which is
a lot of Godzilla. So you are correct. Godzilla is back. Kong.
Okay.
Monkey.
Yeah, we'll say him monkey. Okay, are you ready? Are you sitting down?
I am sitting down.
Yeah, you better stand the fuck up. The next one's Maestro. No chairs. I believe this drops on Netflix next week.
Next week on Netflix.
Or like in 4 days. I think the 20th it drops on Netflix. It's in the top 10 of the year from National Board of Review, AFI. We mentioned it's Golden Globe noms, got a bunch of Critics' Choice noms. We both love Stars Born, correct?
I love A Star Is Born. There's a scene early in the movie that takes place in the parking lot of a Ralph's. Very pro things parking. being named Ralph, such as Ralph's, the grocery store, and also my friend Ralph.
Very good. Thank you. This is podcasting. very much of the conversation. We'll see. I think Cooper's going to be a mainstay in the best actor. I've heard Carey Mulligan is like the star of the show. And I don't know. I love watching Cooper. I like his directing style.
And that's what it is about the, you know, on a more serious note with A Star Is Born. Is that like after I watched A Star Is Born, like whenever a Lady Gaga song would come on, it made me sad.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not Lady Gaga. She was a star. I was born. All these things happened. And then I'm like, you idiot. That's the character in the movie.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's just another one. I think that one's obvious, you know.
Okay,
it's,
okay.
It's following, and, you know, we'll see how it compares to A Star Is Born. We'll also see how it compares to Tar as it's following up that movie. I think they were originally supposed to come out the same year, but now Maestro is coming out a different year. So something that was mentioned before, The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer's new movie.
Okay.
Now it's in the international, it's in the non-English. I'm pretty sure it's like Holocaust era.
Yeah. Commandant of Auschwitz, Rudolf Haas and his wife Hedwig strive to build a dream life for their family in a house and garden next to the camp. Jesus. This is another one. Not even on my radar. What am I doing?
Yeah. So that one, I think it's out in theaters this weekend. I just saw a marquee for it.
Okay.
So it's in theaters now. And like we said before, like it won Best Film Director and Lead and Music at the LA Film Critics Awards. So
something
to keep an eye on. American Fiction. Also in theaters this weekend.
Okay.
It's in the AFI top 10 of the year. So that's like it could sneak in and get a Best Picture nom. Jeffrey Wright, it'll be cool to see if he gets something. Cord Jefferson is the writer director of it, who you would know as, I believe he wrote on Watchmen. He wrote on HBO's Watchmen. Before that, he wrote on The Good Place. I remember he was on The Good Place, and then I would listen to The Good Place like official podcast. He would come on every now and then and talk about like, say, an episode he wrote. And then I remember he left that show and went to Watchmen. I was like, this guy's on the rise. And now he has his own movie.
Okay.
That might be the best picture. Yeah. Go ahead.
I wasn't trying to talk over you. I just say it's another thing. We talked about it in the last episode, so we're going to talk about it now real quick because you mentioned Watchmen. Fuck HBO Max and the stupid idea to take fucking Watchmen off of the streaming service.
Yeah. Sucks. The Thelonious Monk, Ellison's writing career stalled because his work isn't deemed black enough. Monk, a writer and English professor, writes a satirical novel under a pseudonym aiming to expose the publishing world's hypocrisies. The book's immediate success forces him to get deeper enmeshed in the assumed identity and challenges
his
closely held work refutes.
Lucky are we that we get to watch Jeffrey Wright do acting in movies.
He rules. He's so good. He's so good.
Love Jeffrey Wright, man.
Yeah. And like another thing, it's like, I was listening to Cord Jefferson talk on a podcast, and he was like, sometimes people ask like, oh, how did you get this person to do this? And it's like, we always talk about how like black actors, like, there's not enough roles written for them. Good roles. So he was like talking about how he got some people who are in this who like might have a small role, but it's a really good role. And like, we just need more of those. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Holy another shit, Jer.
What?
You're not even going to mention my fucking boy is in this too?
Sterling K. Brown?
No, John Ortiz.
Oh, John Ortiz. Oh, yes, he is. He was at your strike, yeah.
What a fucking gentleman John Ortiz was. Came over to the strike, took pictures with me, John Ortiz asked me for a picture.
Yeah, that rules.
He asked me for a picture. He posted it on his Instagram. One of my other wonderful reps I work with, Mike, asked her for a picture, posted it. John Ortiz is, I just want to go ahead and step out on a limb here and let everyone know this podcast is very, very pro John Ortiz.
And Fantasia Burrito. So we're good.
Correct.
So just let the record show. Next, Palme d'Or winner. Palme d'Or winner. Anatomy of a Fall. We mentioned it earlier because of its Golden Globes. I'm assuming another one that's not on your list or hasn't been on your radar. But
I know of its existence.
French Court, baby. A lot of people takeaways was, man, French Court is wild. A woman is suspected of her husband's murder and their blind son faces a moral dilemma as the sole witness. Anatomy of a Fall. That's a good looking poster.
How is this thing not on my list?
I have no idea. French Court.
French Court. And it's a movie. You know what I mean? Like, it checks all my boxes.
Looks good. Looks really good. I don't know where it's playing. It might be playing now. Like, I could not find it. It's, like, not on VOD yet, but hopefully we'll get access to it soon. I'm going to kind of just speed through some of these.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
All of Us Strangers.
Okay, that's the – I have seen – who else is in that?
It's Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott.
Okay, I've seen them. I've seen them do interviews together. Every time it comes up, and they're like, "Hi, I'm Paul Mescal. I'm, you know, I'm Andrew Scott."
And I'm anytime that happens, my legs are kicking. I'm just like laying down, my legs kicking. I'm going, "Hee-hee."
Have you seen this video? Because Paul Mescal got a sweater thing going on.
I've seen a clip of it. I think, yeah.
Oh, it's just I can't get over the outfits.
Yeah. Two very charming, very attractive men. I just saw the trailer, and I was watching the trailer, and I'm like, I'm going to eat this up. This looks like my shit. And I've always loved Andrew Scott ever since I saw him play Moriarty on Sherlock. He got a Globe nom. He might sneak in and get a Best Actor nom. So that's, I mean, the reason to watch it. Next up, Saltburn. Some are saying... The Don't Worry Darling of 2023.
Okay. That's big words coming from you, someone who owns a Don't Worry Darling t-shirt. I think maybe we should also add that I also had a hand in buying you said t-shirt.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I've seen some kind of split. Emerald Fennell.
It's Emerald Fennell's new movie, which there's always takes. At least we've seen in her two movies. I was kind of pro the last one. This one, I don't necessarily. I mean, the trailer looked interesting, and the shot, like the cinematography, looked good.
Sorry, on the takes here, and I know that there's been takes on both. I haven't seen either. I have seen her play the most hated woman, maybe in the history of Great Britain, Camilla Parker Bowles. God, Jesus Christ, Camilla Parker Bowles, what is she up against? You know what I mean? She's up against Princess Diana.
Yeah, tough. It's a losing battle.
There's one blemish on Princess Diana's record. And it's the Eagles jacket. You know what I mean? That's the only blemish coming from the Giants fan over here.
The Eagles just released new merch, and someone was like the most annoying person that you know just said, "Let's fucking go."
So it seems like I know with this there was a lot of takes, and
apologies to our Eagles fans in the chat, but also not really.
Really, fuck off.
Your team is 10-3. You don't need our sympathies.
So the reason why I ask is because it's so now there's a whole thing you go through when there's a take. Here's a take, and someone goes, "I agree with that." Someone will go, "I don't agree with that." But this also spawns a take of, this is only a take because it's a woman directing it there. And then there's another side of it that has another take on that aspect of it. Do you think that a lot of the takes that we're seeing on Saltburn are because of the movie itself and its content? Or do you think that they are partially ramped up because it is a film made by a woman?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can speak to I think any bad faith argument, obviously, I think is more about that, which doesn't really answer your question because, obviously.
No, it doesn't a little bit there because that's the whole – there's a lot of bad faith arguing going on the internet.
Right. Well, from what I've seen about recap, I guess. Saltburn struggling to find his place at Oxford University. Student Oliver Quick finds himself drawn into the world of the charming and aristocratic Felix Catton, who invites him to Saltburn, his eccentric family's sprawling estate, for a summer never to be forgotten. So the obvious comparisons to this are what's the movie?
Yeah, with the movie, the Jesus. Movie with not Margot Robbie, that one.
No. The comparison is for the Matt Damon and Jude Law movie that I'm just blanking on.
Talented Mr. Ripley.
Talented Mr. Ripley. That's the comp.
Okay. Okay.
Now from, and like it's a lower class guy infiltrating into higher class society and stuff like that.
Okay. So
a lot of the arguments that I've seen sort of is like Barry Keoghan, who was nominated for a Globe, is the lower class person who's going to Jacob Elordi's place, Saltburn, which is the higher class place. Now, the argument I've seen is kind of like, what is this saying? What is this movie saying about different classes and how they are? Now, Emerald Fennell, like, her name is Emerald for a reason. Pretty sure she's, like, the son of, like, a diamond miner or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, someone who, like, so she very much comes from that sort of world. Right.
Okay. Okay.
So let me just, I want to be correct on this.
Education, Greyfriars. She went to jewelry. She was, Oxford.
She was born. Yeah. She is the daughter of Theo Fennell, who the is
king,
a jewelry.
King
of Bling. Jewelry and silverware designer.
Okay.
So now I haven't seen the movie, so I can't speak to it, but I've seen the argument that this movie kind of looks like, or like the statement it's making on class is sort of a little bit negative towards the lower class.
Okay.
Now, as someone who is higher class making that, like, is like, that's where it's like, what are we doing here? You know,
that's
like,
where that's kind of where the issue lies.
That's what I've seen. That's honestly probably one of the main reasons why I've like held back on seeing it. Like, so okay. I was like excited to see it. I wanted to go see it. And then I'm like hearing this, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not going to like it. But I mean, I hope to watch it by the award season if it's prevalent. But that's sort of the argument that I had seen.
Okay.
Shall we move on to the next one?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Rustin. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. That's I think for the sole sake, Colman Domingo might get nominated. You have Naiad also on Netflix. Jodie Foster and Annette Bening were both nominated. Priscilla, Kaylee Spaney was nominated for actress. Sofia Coppola, also just Sofia Coppola. She we didn't mention her before, but with all those, you know, directors, notable directors making movies this year, she deserves to be in that conversation. No hard feelings. Probably, like I said earlier, J-Law got a Globe nom. She's probably not getting another nom at the Academy Awards.
Kate actually just watched that the other day.
Okay. What'd she think?
She was fucking with it, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. I don't necessarily know if it needs to be, like I said, you don't need it for a passing grade.
Okay. Okay. Then
you have The Color Purple, which was meant to be in the conversation, but it was snubbed by the Globe, so we'll see how that. But there's the two acting nobs. And as we said, we are pro Fantasia Barrino.
Correct.
Yeah. This came up on the Golden Globe conversation because it had the Best Picture, non-English, and also actress for a comedy, Fallen Leaves. I've heard really good things about Fallen Leaves. I have no idea what it's about. It won the jury prize at Cannes. The film tells the story of Ansa, a supermarket shelf stocker on a zero-hour contract. Later, a recyclable plastic sorter, and Jalapa, a sandblaster and an alcoholic, later an ex-alcoholic, whose paths have accidentally crossed and who, despite adversity and misunderstandings, try to build some kind of relationship on the harsher side of the welfare state. All I know about this movie is someone posted the picture from the poster and said, I lost it when I saw what the movie they are watching is in the scene or something like that.
So
it's another foreign film, but
yeah, no. I pulled it up. Just real quick. The IMDb synopsis is a little tighter.
Yeah.
Which is just in modern day Helsinki, two lonely souls in search of love meet by chance in a karaoke bar. However, their path to happiness is beset by obstacles from lost phone numbers to mistaken addresses, alcoholism, and a charming stray dog. Sign me up.
There we go. Yeah, okay. I've heard good things. It's in like, I think like David Sims has it in like his top 10 somewhere. But so like, that's how I took note of it first. Finish off. I haven't even seen this yet. Actually, I haven't seen the last four of these. Beau Is Afraid. Another long one. I don't know if it's not streaming anywhere, but I don't know if Phoenix will get a nom at the Oscars, but he has a Globe nomination. I heard it's good, but it's another one of the ones that it was pretty divisive. People like hated it or they loved it.
So Ari Aster does Hereditary. Midsommar, yeah. And Bo is Afraid. His stock is super high. Mm-hmm.
I think Scorsese also talks very highly of this movie.
Okay. And I also really like Hereditary.
Yeah.
I think where I differ from some things is that for some people, no one has ever acted remotely close to Toni Collette in Hereditary. And I think she's fantastic in it. But I just did not think it was one of those like generational defining performances. I've only seen it once. I will go back and watch it to see if I'm wrong. But I think that's why when Bo is Afraid came out, is I was like, I feel like this is so much. I feel like the same people that are hyping this up are the same people that hype me up to watch X.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? The Mia Goth crowd.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-Mia Goth. It's just that, like, for a while, like, Mia Goth.
No, I see what you're saying.
And then every single movie that comes out after that, there's a whole crowd that's going, it should be Mia Goth that does it. And so I think
she's her new Rooney Mara?
She could be. And I think that's why I didn't run towards Bo is Afraid. I'm like, okay, I get it. It's Ari Aster. We're fine. So I think a lot of the reactions to it was, my assumption was, these are overreactions, because that's how it seems to be with the other Ari Aster movies. So I think that's one of the reasons why.
Well, sometimes,
I didn't rush to see it. It was kind of like, let it sit for a little bit and then I'll get to it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's better to just see it without all the noise, which is something you've tended to do with Joaquin Phoenix movies.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah. I have yet to see it, but I'll watch it if it pops up on something soon. I'm going to skip that one and go back to it. The Iron Claw, just premiered.
Critics. I'm hearing Zac Efron.
Zac, really good. Really good. Sean Durkin made it, who made... What else is he? He made The Nest with Carrie Coon, which I thought was very, very good.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that there's a movie out there that has Carrie Coon in it?
And Jude Law. Yeah. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I enjoyed that movie. This is his follow-up following the story of the inseparable Fawn, Eric Brothers. I just saw the trailer for it. It looks really good. I mean, you got Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White from The Bear, and Harris Dickinson, Snow's boyfriend.
Maura Tierney's in this thing.
And Holt McElhaney and Lily James.
I mean, come on, buddy.
It looks good. And I think Sean Durkin is a really good director. And I think that is, I don't know if it's going to make any noise in the award season, but.
What is Maura Tierney that I'm recognizing her from? Like, I know who she is, but I'm like, what is the thing I'm thinking of her being?
Did you click on her name?
Goddamn right I did.
Insomnia?
I don't know.
I know her. What TV? Is she on, like, TV?
She was on The Good Wife. But, I mean, that's 7 episodes.
Twisters. She's going to be in Twisters.
Twisters is going to fucking blow everyone's fucking mind away. I just know it.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those like, I said movies are back 2 weeks ago when I saw this other movie, but I'm gonna say it again when Twisters come.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
And then Ferrari, Michael Mann's new movie starring Adam Driver as Enzo Ferrari. I don't know. I think it might be too late for that to make any sort of statement. But again, Michael Mann is a guy. He's one of the guys. And he had a movie come out. Or having a movie come out. So we'll do that. And then lastly, but not least, Wonka. Is it good? Will it be good? See, actually, once we find out, we can actually put Kate on trial.
Yeah. I mean, as once the first reviews came out, and I just sent her a link to the Rotten Tomatoes page of it to see where the reviews were at, and she looked at me and she said, "Ooh, I'm down bad right now," which I get.
This poster's insane.
This is what's so weird about it, is because I look at that and I go, that movie can't be good. And even honestly, from the trailer, the way everything looks, like this set design, costume design, the way it's filmed, cinematography, looks great. But I'm like, what is this going to be it? Are we okay here? And I'm like, I'm not looking. I'm not doubting the Shams. You know what I mean? We're not doubting a Shams picture. So, but I was like, yeah, this is something that is the Willy Wonka character with Gene Wilder is such a kind of legendary performance there. And then I remember when there was Charlie in the Chocolate Factory with Johnny Depp taking over the role, people were like, fucking, this ain't Gene Wilder, this is bullshit. And so it's like, I wonder if we were going to get the same kind of kickback here. But I mean, at this point, Gene Wilder's been dead for 60 years. So I think we're a little further removed from that. So Gene Wilder hasn't been dead for 60 years, by the way.
Thanks.
Where it's not as much of a comparison.
And that wasn't Laura Linney in the green dress.
Yeah, right? I don't know why I'm always thinking, you know, Laura Linney pops up in some stuff every now and then. And she's usually my go-to fill-in for when I have to talk about a celebrity here.
Yeah.
So this is a good list. This is a good syllabus list here.
It could change. We could get different things nominated, and you might have to be like, "Oh, I gotta see this. What are the performances I gotta check out?" But I think I may have to
pivot.
Yeah, but I think we got a good list to at least start off with.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I really appreciate and I like about this list is I like having, okay, this is what it is. I have written the list. I will be reaching out to you to help decipher my own handwriting to figure out what I wrote down on here.
I think you can share lists on Letterboxd now. I can share it with you.
So, but no, I like that there is a big variety in this. Yeah. I like that. It's like, okay, these are the ones that, yeah, you know, you got to see. But we also have some ones that, like I said, were not on my radar. So, whether they have to be watched for Oscar season or not, the list still exists. The list still exists. So I think I'm very excited. I'm very excited about this. Look, this is the second podcast episode that we've recorded in the past 8 days or 10 days or whatever it's been.
Yeah, we're trying to be back.
We want to be back. I want to be back, and I'm glad that we've made the time to be back, because I really, really do enjoy doing this podcast. I think that it's a lot of fun. And I'm excited that we didn't even really figure anything out. We were just like, hey, we should record. And you're like, all right, here's our ideas for episodes. We wrote it, you know. We got it on the big list behind me there on what our ideas are for the next year. And obviously, as we go through different things, we'll pop up.
Yeah. We're getting back into match fitness here, right? Like, we come on for a little bit. And then
it's the preseason at this point.
Yeah. So we're ironing out the kinks. We're getting, this felt a lot. I think, honestly, this felt more natural than the last one, but. So
that's always happens better. To us. Yeah. I think what always happens is we don't record for a while. We come back. We're not in the flow of it. And then we fuck up and we don't record again for 6 months. So we're not used to it again at that point. This one, I like where we're at. I think it went well. I like how we're recapping this as part of the actual episode. You know what
Which
I mean?
We've done. We keep doing. Yeah, I think as we keep going, we probably won't do that as much as. But we're still kind of just like trying to figure it out.
Yeah. No. So, but also as a listener, made it to this point on this podcast. Whether this is one episode or two episodes, still to be determined. What do you want to hear us talk about? What do you like about it? What part of this is the part that makes you go, yeah, I'm fucking with these two. You know what I mean? To our German listeners, apparently we're pretty big in Germany. I did our Spotify for Podcasters Wrapped, and we gained the most new listeners in Germany.
It's, I mean, and look, I'm pretty sure Fallen Leaves, pretty sure it's a German film. So hopefully they like that we put that on the list. Or maybe they don't.
And you know, we kind of talked about some ideas going through last time. And that's what I like about it. Like when I looked at the Spotify Wrapped, for a while, our best episode, what I think was our best episode for how we intended this podcast to work, is probably Call Me By Your Name. Mm-hmm. Just because I think that it was, we had Snow on.
It helps to have a guest. We know a lot about each other already, so like it doesn't prompt as much like discussion about things that are enlightening to us, I think.
Yeah. And I think also how much Snow loves that movie. And then, you know, going back and because that was I had watched it on a laptop at work. So going back and watching it again on a television, on a bigger screen, and knowing that we were going to talk about it, that was like, boom, we had all our points there and ready. But our most popular podcast episode, which I would have never guessed ever looking down the list of episodes that we've done, was our Broadchurch episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's something crazy, like 75%. It's listened to 75% more than any other episode. Yeah. That episode is older. It's been up for a while.
It's about a show that not many people talk about.
Yeah, and it's still caught legs here. So, you know, we talk about maybe we got to pick up. Look, is there not a lot of podcasts going on about British crime shows? Maybe that's a mini series we toss in here. We'll see what British crime shows there are. See if, you know, we can be a couple of, a couple of fools to talk about it. Yeah.
From here till at least March, we got most, I mean, we'll have some other one-offs and stuff, but a lot of Oscar stuff. I think we want to,
we're gonna do more things
leading into the Oscars. We have a couple ideas for how we want to lead into that, like that month, and so that could be fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I look forward to it. But I think this is gonna be good. I think this is gonna be good. I'm super excited to start recording again on a consistent basis. Takes are back. Movies are back. Cue the banter's back.
Follow
us on we're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're on Twitter. There may be a Facebook page. I don't know if we have to dust the cobwebs off on that
Twitch.
One.
Follow us here on Twitch.
Follow us on Twitch, because as you know, as you see, we stream every episode that we record on Twitch, and also going forward, we like to start doing watch alongs. So the place where we will be doing that will be through Twitch. So don't forget to like, share, subscribe. Jared, I'm gonna let you take us out with our you did the intro, so you take us out with our closing statement.
Yeah, 2023.
Yep.
As you punch the mic, right? Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, my bad.
2023, a really good year for movies. There's a lot to be had. Obviously, this is Nick's syllabus, but it's also your syllabus if you'd like to use it. Official. It's been a while since we've added things to queue. So we've added all of these wonderful films to your queue. Watch them, and we'll let the banter ensue. Until next time,
brother. Until next time. Thank you very much.